You are listening to the Shadow Network with KP Reddy,
your gateway to innovation in architecture, engineering, construction, and real estate, with a sprinkle of startups that are making a difference in between. Check us out on YouTube at Shadow Partners. Never miss a live stream, fireside chat, or talk that we got going on with the industry's most interesting innovators and leaders every single week.
You can connect with KP Reddy and other innovators in the AEC and CRE industry in the Shadow Partners community. Go to shadowpartners.co to learn more today.
All it takes is a few clicks for you to make a difference. Welcome to the future.
And welcome to the Shadow Network with KP Reddy.
All right, welcome back. This is KP.
So weird. We're like not looking at each other through a screen. I was like looking at screen to look at you. I just realized like, no, he's right here. I should actually look at the real thing. Yeah.
If ever you wondered whether or not KP was real or Jeff was real or the two of them together are real.
Here you go.
Here's the answer. We are, we're in Miami right now.
For the Ultra Festival?
For the Ultra Festival. We're going dressed just like this to the Ultra Festival in Miami. After the Morrissey Goodale Southeast M&A and Business Symposium, which is where we're at right now, the Mandarin Oriental Hotel, in just over an hour, five of our startups from the incubator, the Shadow Partners Startup Incubator, will be pitching on stage. Everybody here is really excited. I didn't tell you this, but I walked in yesterday to do the walkthrough, and they're like, oh, you're the Shark Tank guy?
Oh, my God.
So they're looking forward to
please
it.
Please don't call me that.
Yeah. Do I have to wear like a... No. They've dubbed it Shark Tank, but it is exciting because five of our startups are going to be highlighted on stage here, and it's going to be kind of fun. At the end, the audience will vote for a best of show or audience favorite, something like that. So anybody that's wants to see what's actually developing in terms of AI, how it'll affect AEC business models, I think this is a pretty good preview of that.
No, I think it's also a good group. You know, Mick Morrissey's, I consider him a friend, and we've been working together for the last year and been to these conferences before. And it's interesting because, you know, there's this, like I said, you know, there's always these new titles, right? So everybody became chief innovation officers. Mm. Now they have chief strategy officer and chief growth officer at a lot of these, you know, these are the large firms, the ENR 500 type firms. And many of them, growth isn't sales, it's not marketing, it's M&A.
Right.
So the startups are going to be in a room full of a bunch of M&A people from big firms. And they're also going to be in the room with private equity people.
Right.
Who are buying all these engineering firms, which it seems like, you know, once a week another firm's getting bought by private equity. And I think one of the questions all the private equity guys are asking is like, hey, what's your innovation strategy?
Yeah.
And so I think it's a really good opportunity for these founders to really partner up and get kind of some distribution and get, you know, and get inculcated into the industry very quickly, you know, by getting some sponsorship by some of these big firms that can really help them out in the marketplace.
Yeah.
It's kind of the ultimate customer discovery this today.
It really is. It that is not hopefully it's not lost on our founders, but it's not lost on me that, you know, they come into a room like this, which is next door, on the other side of that wall that you can't see if you're on the other side of the screen. But they are in the room. They have the opportunity to be in the room with their customers, certainly, maybe their buyers, maybe their partners. And it is the ultimate customer discovery. One of the things that you talk about in your book, which we're like a little over 30 days out.
Yeah.
A little over 30 days out of the publication of, or the release, I guess, of KP's latest book. And you talk about those intangible organizations. Mm-hmm. And you talk about how AI changes business models, how it needs to change business models. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing some customer discovery work for clients, you know, some advisory work around that. And One of the things, this is fresh in my mind because I was on one of those call with our client earlier this morning. Like this, I don't think we learned what you thought we were gonna, not you, but the client, what you thought we were going to learn. This is why we do the work, right? We do this, we talk to the people, we ask the people, and we get the real reaction. We don't make assumptions. And so being in a room like this, whether you're an engineering firm or you're one of these startups, this is invaluable. As you try to bring something to the market or pivot or, you know, look at a new business model.
You know, and it's fascinating, right? It seems like such a simple idea. Go talk to customers.
It is.
It seems like such a simple idea. Like, you know, like we've, you know, I feel so dumb sometimes saying like, well, you need to go talk to the market. You need to go talk to the customers. And it's amazing how founders don't do it. But then like some of our advisory clients, which are multi-billion dollar companies, they've forgotten how to talk to their customers. They live in a little silo. They go to conferences and they don't actually talk to customers. And I think, you know, if we can, you know, one of the things I cover in my book is this idea that like AI is going to help you really optimize all the mundane work.
Right.
So what are you going to do with all that extra time? And my position is spend it with customers.
Yeah.
Figure out that next product, next service, like really engage with them in a deep way versus like, okay, we went to lunch and great, you know, we'll go build another product and not really ask for their feedback. So it really frees you up to be creative and really accelerate how quickly you launch products and services.
Are you tired of being asked what your annual construction volume is just to get software pricing? Try Jet.Build for free today and enjoy free features and flat free pricing, regardless of your annual construction volume. Visit www.jet.build and get started today.
You know, we didn't talk about this because I didn't tell you this, but as I was doing the customer discovery work for a client, one of the comments from the people that I interviewed was that there needs to be, speaking of that mundane work, right? The tools, the AI tools are going to come in and take care of that. And you'll see that as you, whether you're live here now and you see the pitch here in about an hour, or you join us next Friday on the 29th, we've got the virtual demo day. You'll see all nine startups from this cohort. But you'll see these solutions that they take care of the mundane work. They attack decision making. They attack risk management. They attack all these things as tools. But one of the people that I was interviewing for the customer discovery work said that we have to have these tools, just like you just said. We have to have these tools so they take care of this mundane work, and then we can shift and focus only on profitability, only on the things, basically our highest and best use, if you want to say it that way, and on the things that are going to make us valuable and profitable. And I think that's a big testament to this idea of shifting of business plans and looking at the AEC business, AEC industry in a new way.
It's kind of interesting. I was at the airport and someone, and I see this sometimes, I'm by no means any kind of like celebrity, but every once in a while I see someone staring at me and I'm like, they're about to come over. and so the guy comes over and he's like, man, you're KP, aren't you? And I'm like, last I checked, yes, I am. What's up? And he's like, I love your posts on LinkedIn. And I was like, really? And I was like, that's funny. I've never seen you comment or like them, which is odd. It seems like if you like them, you would actually comment or like
do
them,
something,
right?
Click a button.
Like that encourages me. He was like, how do you find time? Is it just a discipline thing? And I said, you know what? I have the good fortune that I get to talk to 12 to 20 people a day, whether it's through advisory work or startups. Like I get a full plate of new information every day. And it's almost like journaling, right? If I don't get it out, I can't actually process all the info I get. And he was like, how do you manage to do that? I'm like, I feel like everybody should do that. Like if you're building a company, like I'm building a firm and we're building, you know, Shadow Partners. If I'm not talking to 12 to 20 people a day, I don't feel like I'm learning. I'm not, you know, learning stuff about the market. And I told him, and he's a startup founder. And I said, what do you do all day? And he was like, oh, I'm doing this. I was like, aren't you spending more time with customers in the market? He was like, I don't know. Like, it's just hard to make time for that. I'm like, that's the only thing you should make time for, right?
Yeah.
And so I told him, I was like, it'll also help you with creating good content. Mm-hmm. You know, I think founders that create good content clearly are engaging with the market and customers in a very granular way. And it changes, you know, what they're thinking. It informs them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't have that many original thoughts. I just repeat everything I hear all day. I pattern recognize what I hear all day. Mm-hmm. And I try to put it into cogent thoughts and post it, which isn't hard.
Yeah. And, you know, that idea of creating content, which is really important for startups, as you mentioned, right? Their website, their social media, whatever they're doing. That's the great irony, right? You have as many conversations as you can with your customers, potential customers, et cetera. And then you synthesize that into comment or into content. Mm-hmm. And so now you're hearing what your customers care about and you're talking about what your customers care about. Mm-hmm. And there it is. I mean, there's the cycle right there.
Yeah. And I think if I didn't write it down on LinkedIn, I'd write it down in a Word doc.
Sure.
Like you have to like, how do you synthesize and process so much information?
Or Tumblr.
Right. Or Tumblr on my MySpace page. Yeah. But I do think my Blogger page. I do think.
Is Seth Godin still a Blogger?
Yeah, I don't know. But I think he still has an AOL account. But I do think that if you're not getting so much information on a daily basis that you have to process and synthesize, that might be a sign. You're not doing it right.
Maybe I'm starting to show my age. So literally, as the old guy in the room, a couple months older. Yeah. One thing, and this is, you know, if you're going to jump into the Shadow Partners Incubator at some point, please don't come in and tell me about. And this is going to sound like the old guy, but don't come in and tell me about your 8 years experience, your 10 years experience, or whatever. First of all, I start to feel really old. Second of all, it doesn't match up with anybody you're trying to sell to. And third, whatever your experience was, even if it's 12, 15 years experience, think about the acceleration of change, how much of that experience that you're relying on to build this new tool to push forward into the future is even relevant. But you know, it does stir up in me. It's like, you're just a baby.
Well, there's a little bit too when people talk about how much experience they have. I'm like, well, you'll have no problem. You have so much experience. You will have no problem doing customer discovery. You're mature enough to understand.
You know the importance.
Right. You know the importance. Yeah. That doesn't always resonate with them, right?
It does not.
It's like, I know. And I do think, you know, especially when we work with these engineering firms, they're engineers. Like, how do you know? Like, I mean, I know. So that's not how that, you know, the I know effect is. But I think it's been, you know, I think as we continue the incubator and kind of move to more of an evergreen model, I think it's going to be really, really interesting just to see how these startups evolve. Since they're not just in for 6 weeks, they'll kind of stick around for a minute.
Yeah, we get as to well poke as, them for longer.
Yeah, and as well as the corporate startups.
Right.
You know, we're seeing more and more corporate startups that are trying to understand how this all works.
Right.
Because, you know, I always joke around, like, none of these engineering firms invented anything.
Engineering.
Like, they're just doing what's been done for 100 years.
Yes.
And so they never really have had to launch something new and different and educate their, you know, they all respond to RFPs because the customers know exactly what they need to buy.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they couldn't, you know, startups won't respond to RFPs because everything they've created has never been invented.
Right.
Yeah. It's new. And so I think even some of the corporates having to build this new muscle. Mm-hmm. It's so fascinating and interesting, and they're realizing they have to. It's something they have to do, not just because of AI, but because of innovation. Like, you can't, if all you're going to do is tell your customer, "I'm using AI to do what I've always done, but faster." Mm-hmm. Like, great, so that means it'll be cheaper. Yeah, so it's a massive race to the bottom. So I think they've really got to start thinking about this stuff. So we're pretty excited to have some of those corporate startups in our incubator too.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun, and I was responding to a post on LinkedIn the other day, and it was one of those where I typed the response and deleted it and typed it again and deleted it. Went through several cycles of that, but it was architects. So if you don't know that, that's my background. And they were complaining. They said AI still thinks architects make blueprints. We should talk about this more. Like, maybe you shouldn't talk about this more. First of all, if that's probably your client saying that, but you should go out and do something about it. You should go out and
I don't think that's an AI hallucination. I think that's what architects do, is they make blueprints.
Yeah.
So, they take BIM models, complex BIM models, and flatten them out into blueprints.
Exactly. Why do we build these digital twins and then print it out on a 24-by-36-inch piece of paper? But there's, whether it's architecture, engineering, construction, all three operators, it doesn't matter. With many people, I think there is this resistance to change, but then the delight in complaining. You know, this is what people still think. This is what, I mean, you keep doing this because this is the way you've always done it, which I think is the most dangerous phrase that we have in our society right now. But to your point, an engineering firm didn't invent anything. Right? They didn't invent engineering. They didn't even invent the process that they're using. And we have 9 in our cohort now. We'll have, you know, once we turn to the evergreen model, as you mentioned, we'll probably have dozens, mm-hmm. You know, as it starts churning, they're going to be inventing the new business models.
No, and I think that's the thing, right? Like, they will invent new business models. You know, it's interesting. Having built companies in the telecom space and in other spaces, you say innovation, you have to say Apple, I guess, but the biggest innovation Apple had, I think, with the iPhone was actually the idea that you weren't really doing business with the telecom. You weren't really doing business with AT&T anymore. You were doing business with Apple.
Mm.
And Apple had the relationship with you, and the telecom became the plumbing.
Right.
So none of us actually care, like, other than when there's an outage because of solar flares, do we care about, none of us care about our carrier.
Mm-hmm.
We used to care.
Right.
In fact, like, our phones would have logos from the carriers on them, right?
Yep.
And we used to care about it. And one of the business models that Apple really did a great job with, you know, you have an iPhone, you're either iPhone or Android is the deal now.
Yeah.
Nobody says anything about their carrier.
Right.
At all. Like, it's just plumbing. It got commoditized. And Apple kind of took that away. They took that power away from the telecoms. And now we can switch our phones over. Like, we don't care.
Right.
And I think with these startups, one of the things is really getting there and encourage them to say, like, don't focus on existing business models and practices. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where industry, the larger corporations in engineering and construction, really are going to have to really rethink.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, going back to that customer discovery work for our client, that's more than half of the people that I talked to mentioned, you know, within the next 3 years, 5 years, maybe less than that, we are not going to be this anymore. We're going to be this different business model.
Yeah.
And it's kind of striking to hear that come out of the mouths of leaders of innovations and big engineering or AE firms and construction firms, but they get it.
Yeah.
Right? It's not an acceleration of a process. It's not a an efficiency play. I mean, all of that will happen, but like you said earlier, it's a race to the bottom. It's mass commoditization. It's accelerated commoditization. But what does that allow us to do then? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a civil engineer, if you're a mechanical engineer, if you're an architect that designs R&D labs, whatever, what's the next thing?
And I think there's a massive misalignment, right? If you ask we're in Miami, so I see a lot of developers, right? Mm-hmm. If you ask an office developer, what is this project? They're like, I'm building an asset that generates cash flow.
Yeah.
They don't even consider it a building.
Right.
It's an asset. It's like a factory. It's an asset that creates cash flow. If you ask the contractor, he's building a building.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask the AE firm, what are they doing? They're building plans and specs.
Mm-hmm.
So you have three parties that are working on the same project. They can't even align on what it is they're actually delivering.
Right.
And it's the idea that a design firm is like, well, what's your deliverable? Plans and specs. Contractor, what's your deliverable? The building.
Mm-hmm.
Owners, the developers, like, cash flow, y'all. That's what I'm building here. I'm building an asset that generates cash flow. And until there's alignment, I mean, that's going to be the opportunity for a lot of startups and founders to say, it turns out all they care about is cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not even asking the right questions to understand that.
Yeah. It was what all my architecture friends out there, what you really need to understand about that is when you were talking about the misalignment, and when you were talking about the fact that you've got two of the three parties are focused on blueprints or building, and one's focused on cash flow, right? Two are focused on commodities. They're focused on commoditization that's not generating anything beyond the deliverable for them, beyond that final invoice, I guess. And you look at that and you go, okay, plans and specs. I can hook up with any number of these startups that go through our incubator and go, okay, how can we develop plans and specs faster, cheaper, whatever? And no client's going to pay me more for doing it faster.
No, and think about that. When has an architect or an engineer or a contractor ever gone to the client and said, hey, if we implement this new technology, I can increase your NOI by 50 bips.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't even know what I just said. They wouldn't even know. That's the vocabulary of finance, right? They're like, no, you should do this because it's cool.
Yeah.
Because it'll make it more interesting. But then the developer has to, amongst all the things they're doing, is process out, what does this mean to my cash flow model?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think contractors do a little bit better job of understanding it. For me, it resonates a lot because when I was an engineer, I had a lot of retail clients.
Mm.
So I had the Walmarts and the Targets and the Costcos of the world. And they were very simple with me. They said, every day we don't open up, there's liquidated damages. Mm. You know, your developer, your developer owes us money.
Mm-hmm.
So as an engineer, if you don't get your developer in there on time, he gets pinged.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they have inventory sitting around. They staff up the store 60 days. And when they open up a new Walmart, they staff up 60 days in advance and train the people. So they're running payroll and they have inventory sitting around, and they're paying for that inventory to be in storage somewhere.
Yeah.
And so when you cut your teeth with these retail people like Walmart, they're like, no, liquidated damage, $100,000 a day.
Mm. Yeah.
And so you, as an engineer, and you're working for a developer like that, like, kid, if you cost me a day, you owe me $100,000. I'm like, my fees are only 50.
Yeah, exactly. So open up the AIA contract documents that you're using. Look at your indemnification clauses.
Exactly.
I'm going to start teaching pro practice class here. And when we have those parties that are focused on that, again, we can... One of the things that came out of the customer discovery work, or a couple of things. One is the beginning point and the end point doesn't change. Right? We've got a client with a need, and we've got an asset at the end. The question is, what's the path in between?
Yeah.
And how is that being affected by AI or whatever the emerging technology is? And then there was another conversation around the idea of different delivery models, where the different players are actually incentivized. Mm-hmm. Right? There's real incentive, not tied to the commodity, but to some value creation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we're talking about different business models at that point than what, you know, architects and engineers have followed for about 100 years now.
But it's interesting, you know, the design, they all bring up risk.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's why a startup's going to crush you, because they don't care.
Right.
That's all, their entire day is risk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's super fascinating, but I think it's going to be a good time later today. And then tomorrow we have all of our startups and our mastermind group members coming into town. So that'll be a good time to meet all of them.
Yep.
So if you're not familiar, we basically started these mastermind groups to get industry people that are really want to learn more. They want to learn more from us. They want to learn more from each other. They want to learn more from startups. And we run these little cohorts, and we get together once a quarter. So it'll be fun tomorrow too.
Yep. Yeah. Tomorrow is our, we actually have two sections of our innovation leaders. So Director of Innovation, Chief Innovation Officer, you know, people that are leading innovation and sometimes digital transformation in their firms from all over North America, coming here to Miami for their quarterly meetup. And then in, I don't remember the date, but in a week or two, I'm thinking about the new one that we're launching, mastermind that we're launching for the construction technology. I think that's in a couple of weeks, but to your point, the innovation leaders will meet again in person June 22nd, I believe it is. It's a Friday in Denver. So that's coming up. But yeah, a lot of interest, a lot of need for these people peer-to-peer, support each other, learn from each other. And we just facilitate the conversation.
Yeah, feels like we're building an army.
We are. An army of innovators marching through the streets.
Army of change.
We are.
Well, this was fun in person.
It was. So now we're real. How about that?
Yeah. First time we've met.
It is. First time we've met. Two old guys sit in a room in front of a laptop and get on the same screen.
Who are those guys in the Muppets?
Oh, man. Waldorf and... up in the balcony, right?
Up in the balcony, yeah.
Waldorf, I forget the other one's name, but yeah, it's kind of like that. And you can see that we're the same size.
Yep.
Anyway, with that, this has been a different edition, a special edition of KP Ready Unpacked. We didn't really get to one of your LinkedIn posts, but...
We have a backlog. We've been busy.
We do, yeah. We'll get to those again next week, but we're live here in Miami at the Morrissey Goodale Southeast M&A and Business Symposium, and in just half an hour or so we'll have startups from our incubator on stage.
All right, let's roll.
All right. Thanks everybody, we'll see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode on the Shadow Network here with KP Ready. As always, remember you can connect with KP and other innovators in the AEC and CRE industry in the Shadow Partners community. Go to shadowpartners.co to learn more today. Until next time.